அம்மா பாத் அல்ஹம்துலில்லாஹ். Today is the 10th of May in the year 2021. Alhamdulillah, we move on to the 28th glorious day of the holy month of Ramadan. And I've reached verse 92 of Surah Nisa. So to spend the session discussing this blessed verse. So verse 92. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Never should a believer kill a believer except by mistake. If one soul kills a believer, i.e. by mistake, it is then ordained that he should free a believing slave and pay compensation to the deceased family unless they remit it freely. If the deceased belonged to a people at war with you and he was a believer, the freeing of a believing slave, i.e. is enough. If he belonged to a people with whom you have a treaty of mutual alliance, compensation should be paid to his family, and a believing slave be freed. For those who find this beyond their means, a fast for 2 months continuously, by means of repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all knowledge and all wisdom. So in this blessed verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to the believers that you must never ever kill another believer. The only way it's possible is if you do it by accident. And if you do it by accident, what are you supposed to do? Allah ta'ala has told you in this verse. So question, why was this blessed verse revealed? So there's two reports. In Ibn Manda, Abu Nu'aym al-Dulabi, Hayat al-Sahab, Abu Sayyidina Bakr ibn Hartha, radiyallahu anhu, he said, I once took part in a sariyah dispatched by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this battle, I killed a person despite his showing his relations with Islam and seeking refuge in me. I still killed him. When the Holy Prophet came to know about this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he grew angry and he kept at me until Allah the Almighty revealed this verse. I verse 92. So the first reason for the revelation of this verse is that a Muslim was killed by another Muslim. But the Sahaba thought he was playing games. So the Prophet got angry because, why did you kill him? And then Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse indicating it wasn't deliberate. But now he had to do something in terms of expiation. So this is one reason. There's another report. In Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir, in their respective tafsirs, Ibn Ishaq, Abu Ya'la and Ibn Abi Hatim, many of the Salaf, Ibn Abbas, Ikrimah, Mujahid, they all relate. Al-Harith Ibn Yazid, so who's this person? Al-Harith ibn Yazid, he later became a Muslim. At the time he wasn't. Al-Harith ibn Yazid and Abu Jahl used to afflict Iyash ibn Rabi'ah with torture. So we all know who Abu Jahl is, the shaitan. This other man who later became a Muslim also was torturing this sahaba whose name was Iyash. Then Al-Harith went out to seek the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning he's embraced Islam. And Iyash ibn Rabi'ah met him in Al-Hira and he killed him with the sword, all the while thinking he is still an unbeliever. He then came to the Holy Prophet and informed him about the matter sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah the Almighty revealed this verse. So simply put, Iyash ibn Rabi'ah, he was being tortured. He was kept in bay at Makkah. Two people were torturing him. His own brother, Abu Jahl. They both shared the same mother. So his own maternal brother was torturing him. And also this man who later became a Sahaba, Al-Harith ibn Yazid. So Iyash obviously hated both of them. Later on, he didn't realize Harith ibn Yazid become a Muslim. So when he saw him, it says during the conquest, he killed him. But then later, Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse, meaning you've killed somebody by accident, a believer, now you need to do the following things. So this is the reason for the revelation of this verse. But now, Imam Suyuti in his Tafsir Jalalain, he he explains the entire verse. So quoting, regarding the unintentional killing of a believer, there are two obligations. So remember the situation. A Muslim has accidentally killed another Muslim. It's not deliberate. Now the one who's killed by accident, he has to do two things. The first is to pay a kafara, which is to set free a Muslim slave, not a Muslim slave, for the great sin committed even by mistake. So the first thing he has to do is that he has to free a slave, a believing slave. And I'll explain what the situation is if you haven't got a believing slave. The second thing he has to do, Imam Suyuti said, he has to pay blood money to the family of the deceased in compensation for their loss. So the one that he's killed, the one who's killed him by accident, has to pay blood money to the family. So what is the blood money? SubhanAllah. So there's a report, and this narration is recorded in Nasa'i, number 4799, Abu Dawud, number 4545, Tirmidhi, number 1386, Ibn Majah, number 3631, Ahmad in his Muslim, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, Sahih Hadith. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, radiyallahu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he determined the blood money for unintentional killing. 20 camels which entered the fourth year, 20 camels which entered the fifth year, 20 camels which enter the second year, and 20 camels which enter the third year. So this is the hadith. So let's make that simple. You've killed, a Muslim has killed another Muslim by accident. He has to now give blood money, 80 camels ranging from the second to 5 years of age, to the deceased family. Ibn Kathir said, this diya or this blood money is required from the elders of the killer's tribe. So now this is something that we have to understand. You have killed a Muslim by accident. Who's paying that blood money? It's your tribe. Your tribe has to help to pay the blood money to the deceased. So where's the proof of this? In Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu said, two women from Hudayl quarreled, and one of them threw a rock at the other, killed her and her unborn fetus. They disputed before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he decided that the blood money of the fetus should be to free a male or female slave. He also decided that the blood money of the deceased is required from the elders of the killer's tribe. So basically, two women argued. One was pregnant. The one who wasn't threw a rock killed the woman and the child. So for the unborn child, free a slave. That was what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Free a male or female slave. But the blood money had to be paid. But who by? The Prophet said, the elders of the killer's tribe. I.e. the tribe itself has to help in paying the blood money. In another report, this is another scenario. This is recorded in Sahih Bukhari. Khalid bin Walid, Abdullah ibn Umar, he relates, Khalid bin Walid was sent by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Banu Jazima. He called them to Islam, but they did not know how to say, we are Muslims. So they said, Sabana, Sabana, we have become Sabians. But what they meant by that was, we become Muslims. So Khalid started killing them, radiallahu anhu. And when the news was conveyed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Allahumma inni abra'u ilayka mimma sana'a Khalid. O Allah, I declare my innocence before you of what Khalid has done. So this is in Bukhari and Muslim. Then Ibn Kathir said, Rasulullah then sent Ali to pay the blood money of those who were killed and to compensate for the property that was destroyed to the extent of replacing the dog's bone. So simply put, Khalid bin Walid made a mistake. He thought they were still kuffar. So he goes, right, take the heads off. And they were killed. But then the news reached the Prophet and he knew that he made a mistake. So the Prophet said, Ya Allah, I'm innocent of this, meaning Khalid made a mistake. But then he sent Ali to pay the blood money. And it says that he even gave back, you know, a dog's ball that maybe that they ought. Then Ibn Kathir said, this narration proves the mistake of the leader or the deputy is paid from Bayt al-Mal. Who paid the blood money here? It wasn't Khalid bin Walid or his tribe. It was Bayt al-Mal. So here, if an Amir is appointed, he makes a mistake, it's not the tribe now who pays the blood money. It's the Amir, the Bayt al-Mal. So this is why these incidents took place. People say, why did that happen? Because we're learning. Allah Ta'ala is teaching us what to do. So going back to Imam Suyuti's quote, so that's the blood money, 80 camels. Then he said, this blood money must be paid by the family of the killer and that they must pay it within 3 years. And if they cannot afford paying the blood money, the Bayt al-Mal must then pay it. So what's happened? You have to pay 80 camels. The elders of the tribe, the family have to pay the blood money. They got 3 years to pay it. If they struggle, Bayt al-Mal is then needed. Then it mentions, Imam Suyuti, he then recited this portion of the verse. Verse 92. Unless they remit it, means that the blood money must be handed to the family of the deceased. Unless they say no, then it becomes optional. So they might be noble. They might say, look, it was an accidental killing. We don't want blood money. Then he goes, you don't need to give it. Then Imam Suyuti said, Rahmatullah Ali. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he recites, if the deceased belonged to a people at war with you, and he was a believer, the freeing of a believing slave. So what does that mean? Allah Ta'ala says, if you've killed a believer, but he belonged to a people at war with you, you have to free a believing slave. Imam Suyuti explained, if the murdered person is a believer, you've killed a Muslim, but his family are enemies of Islam, then no blood money is paid, and the killer must only set free a believing slave. Have you understood? So you've killed a Muslim by accident, but his family are all enemies of Islam. So obviously, if you give blood money, they're going to use that money to harm Islam. So Allah Ta'ala says, no blood money. But you must free a slave because you have killed. So no, Allah Ta'ala is not allowing the kuffar to benefit from the death of a believer. This is what that verse means, said Imam Suyuti rahmatullah alayh. Then he said, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he quotes, and if he belonged to a people with whom you have a treaty of alliance, meaning the people of Ahl al-Zimma, or with a peace treaty, then the killer is entitled to give the deceased blood money. Full blood money if the deceased is a believer. So if you kill a Muslim by accident, and his family have a peace treaty with the Muslims, they're not Muslims, his family, but they have a peace treaty, then you have to pay blood money because they're not at war with the Muslims. Or if they're Ahl al-Zimma, they're paying jizya, Christians and Jews, then you do, because they've actually got a contract with the Muslims. Allah Ta'ala is referring to this, said Imam Suyuti, rahmatullah alayh. Then he says, quoting, and whoso finds this beyond his means to free a slave, he must fast for 2 consecutive months. And then he explained, with no breaking of the 2 months fast to the extent he should start all over again if the person breaks the fast without a legal excuse. So if you cannot free a believing slave, Allah Ta'ala goes, then you must fast for 2 months. And it can't be a break. If you haven't got an excuse, you've got to start again. That's the repentance if you can't free a believing slave. Then Imam Suyuti rahmatullah alayh. Then he recites, and whoso finds this beyond his means, the fasts, then if he can't even do this, then some ulama say that he should feed the poor. Some ulama say that he should feed the poor. So what Imam Suyuti is beautifully done here is, he's explained the whole verse to you. The whole verse needs to be explained. Who is Allah Ta'ala talking about? You've killed a believer, that's straightforward. You give blood money, that's straightforward. But then he starts saying, but if he's from a warring tribe, then he starts thinking, what's Allah Ta'ala talking about then? Or if they've got an alliance with you, Allah Ta'ala is explaining that there's different scenarios and each one is guiding you to what the best course is. But now, this food, if you can't fast, can you give food? What's the difference of opinion? So in the work called The Mercy and the Difference of Opinion, the 4 Sunni Schools of Law, by Qadi As-Safadi, rahmatullah alayh, Page 183, he said, the scholars agree that the expiation for accidental killing is to free a believing slave. They have to agree because the Quran says it. This is very important to highlight. Some people think that the Imams differ when there's Quran telling them, no, if Quran and Sunnah is there, they don't differ. So because they all agree on that, because the Quran is telling you, you free a slave, a believing slave. But then he said, but if you cannot, you fast 2 consecutive months, they all agree on that. Quran says it. They disagree about feeding. Why? Because the Quran doesn't mention feeding. Either you fast, you free a believing slave. If you can't do that, fast 2 months, the Quran stops there. Somebody goes, I can't fast 2 months. Now what? Then the Shaykh said, they disagree. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmed, one view said, no feeding. Because the Quran doesn't mention feeding. Another view of Imam Ahmed said, no. If you feed, you've covered the 2 months fasting. Imam Shafi has 2 statements. The sounder is, no feeding. So this is why Imam Suyuti goes, difference of opinion. He didn't go into, because Jalalain is straightforward. He doesn't want to go into detail. Well, I've given you the difference here. So that's why they say you feed. Now, why is that important? Why? Because an elderly person may kill by accident. So how is he going to fast? He can't even fast in Ramadan. So what's he supposed to do? So there you go. There's the beauty of the deen. And Allah has given you ways, and he left it to the scholars to discuss this. And they've differed because there's no direct text. The other thing here is there's 4 questions. And these are answered in the same work, the mercy and the difference of opinion. The first question. Is it determined or is it according to ability to pay? So what does that mean? What's the question? You got to give 80 camels. So the question is that fixed? Whether you, you have to give it. Or is it only if you've got the means? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, it is shared equally between all the people of the tribe. So if you've got a huge tribe, they have to give equal amount to pay the blood money. Have you understood? Right? Equal amount, Imam Abu Hanifa says. Imam Ahmad, Imam Malik said, no, there is nothing determined about it. It should be dealt with in a way that is not injurious. Meaning, if there's rich ones amongst the family, they can give more. It doesn't have to be equal. If there's poor ones, exclude them. Exclude the poor ones. So Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad say this. Imam Shafi says it's determined. Half a dinar for the wealthy, a quarter of a dinar for the average. Meaning no. If you're rich, you give a quarter dinar towards the blood money. If you're poor, half of that. Because it's fixed. So that's 1 question answered. 2nd question. Are the poor and the rich relatives equal in bearing the burden of the blood money? So does the poor and the rich all have to give? Imam Abu Hanifa says they're all equal. They all have to give whatever they can manage. The other 3 imams said the wealthy should pay more than the average. So that's the 2nd question answered. 3rd question. Does an absent relative have to bear any of the blood money like those who are present? So let's say somebody, you've killed somebody in Sheffield. You've got cousins in Pakistan. Have they got to give blood money? Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad said, yes. Doesn't matter where they are. Imam Malik says, no. An absent relative does not bear anything because he's in a different region. So why am I discussing all this? Because look what the scholars have done for this. We don't appreciate how much they've served the deen. You know, we'd be lost without them. Looking at Quran, what is all this? The scholars have answered everything. 4th question. What is the order of being liable for blood money? So in other words, you've got very close family members, brothers, uncles, and then you got first cousins. You got nephews, sorry. Then you got first cousins. Is that taken into account? Imam Abu Hanifa says the immediate and the distant are the same. No, they all have to equally give. Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad says the order is according to the closest paternal relatives. Meaning they have the greater share, responsibility. If they take care of it, the rest don't need to give anything. If the immediate relatives do not have enough to cover it, then distant relatives are included. It is like this until finally it is given. So this is another thing which the scholars have mentioned and they've discussed and they've given clarification. So now a few of the things which are important to highlight. What if you kill a woman? Is there a difference there? If a woman is accidentally killed, her blood money is half a man. Half. 40 camels. Similarly, her bodily parts and wounds carry a blood money half of a man. But to explain. So this is recorded in Irwa al-Ghalil ibn Abi Shayba. It's Sahih. Irwa al-Ghalil, volume 7, page 307. Urwa al-Bariki. He came from Umar saying that the blood money for the wounds of men and women are the same in the case of teeth and injuries to the bone. However, for anything greater than that, the blood money for the woman is half that of a man. Let's look at this. So this is a Sahih Hadith. If a woman loses a tooth, it's the same blood money. There's no difference between man and a woman. Same retaliation, same amount is given. If the wound reaches the bone, it's the same. Same for the man and woman. But if the wound is more severe, meaning the bone is broke, now it starts halving after that. So a certain injury, they're exactly the same, men and women. Compensation, like they say now in a compo, right? You get exactly the same. But if the injury goes past the bone, then it's half for the woman. But then it goes, the blood money therefore has to be half because you've killed the female. Have you understood? So the way to look at it is they're equal, but at a certain stage it goes to half. But ultimately, if you kill by accident, it's half. And who said that? Umar radiallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Because half the blood money, meaning that's different for the females. What about the people of the book? You've killed a Jew and a Christian. What's their blood money? If a person from the people of the book is mistakenly killed, it's half that of a Muslim. Half. The male from the people of the book has half the blood money of a Muslim male, while a female from the people of the book have half the blood money of a Muslim woman. Abdullah ibn Amr relates that the Prophet ﷺ judged that the blood money of the people of the two books is to be half the blood money of the Muslims, Jews or Christians. This hadith is recorded in Nasai, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and is graded Hassan in Irwa al-Ghalil number 2251. So if you kill a Muslim or Jew by accident, it's half the blood money. So not all of this is not mentioned in this verse. Rasulullah is explaining, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he's giving you further details, i.e. with regards to the matter. So now, let's read the verse again. With all that detail, suddenly this verse will start making sense now. Verse 92, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Never should a believer kill a believer but by accident. If one kills a believer by accident, it is ordained he should free a believing slave and pay compensation to the deceased family unless they remit it freely. If the deceased belonged to a people at war with you and he was a believer, the freeing of a believing slave is enough. If he belonged to a people with whom you have a treaty of mutual alliance, compensation should be paid to the family and a believing slave be freed. For those who find this beyond their means, a fast for 2 months running by way of repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all knowledge and all wisdom. So now this is to do with accidental killing. What about those who deliberately kill? That is the next verse. And it's a very, very frightening verse. I.e. if you kill deliberately a believer. And I'm going to mention that separate. But note Allah Ta'ala starts here with the accidental killing of a Muslim. Subhanallah. So I'll recite the verse. And we will conclude. أَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ أَن يَقْتُلَ مُؤْمِنًا إِلَّا خَطَأً وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا خَطَعًا فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ وَدِيَةٌ مُسَلَّمَةٌ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ إِلَّا أَن يَصَّدَّقُوا فإن كان من قوم عدو لكم وهو مؤمن فتحذير رقبة مؤمنة وإن كان من قوم بينكم وبينهم ميثاق فدية مسلمة إلى أهله وتحرير رقبة مؤمنة فمن لم يجد فصيام شهرين متتابعين توبة من الله وكان الله عليما حكيما. Now what's interesting about this verse? Are we accountable for what we do by accident? No. But life is so precious that the verse gives you the impression that even though you're not accountable, no sin has been committed. Look at what Allah Ta'ala is doing now, because He knows in your heart you've taken a life. So He's giving you all these things. And look at the end, He goes, Tawbatum min Allah. In other words, Tawbah for what? I didn't do anything wrong, Ya Allah. I killed by accident. You may have run somebody over, you know, car accident. Allah Ta'ala has given you, because look, He knows what's in your heart, you're feeling grief. So He goes, therefore do what you're doing, and this is part of your tawbah, but the tawbah is in inverted commas, because you did nothing wrong. But that is telling you how precious life is in Islam. So if that is killing somebody accidentally, a believer accidentally, oh my God, what is the sin if you do it deliberately? And that is mentioned separately. And what's shocking is, there's no expiation for killing deliberately. Allah Ta'ala only gives you the opportunity for accidentally killing. And if He doesn't give you expiation, it means you're in trouble, because He's not going to purify you. Expiation is there to help you, to purify you, to put your heart at ease. You know, subhanAllah. So we pray to Almighty Allah subhanAllah that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanAllah that He forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently uttered. Amen. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل من الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ونواصل بالحق ونواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم